broadcast. But let's talk right now about a tiny step in the right direction. The decision by some of Canada's premiers to ease restrictions on interprovincial beer and alcohol sales is a step in the right direction, according to the Atlantic Institute for Market Studies. AIM's president, Marco Navarro-Gini, is here with us on the broadcast. Welcome back to the show, sir. How are you?
I am very well, thank you.
A tiny step in the right direction? How so?
It is a tiny step in the sense that from all the things that they could have done, all they succeeded to have announced, and we don't have the details yet, so we have to be a little bit skeptical about this, is that they plan to loosen up a little bit the restrictions on the importation of alcohol, whether it's beer or wine or hard alcohol, across provincial lines. And they're talking about essentially doubling the allowance. But, you know, to be fair, there is a million reasons or a million standards one can judge these things by. And I think the fairest way, perhaps, is to judge them by what they set out to do. And if you listen to the interviews or read the press release that came out of the premier's, the host premier's office in New Brunswick, he said that they were going to liberalize the sales and the distribution of alcohol. None of that was done. The distribution is still in the hands of the government, and sales were not touched. This is something else. Mm-hmm. So not to be negative, we say there's a tiny little bit of progress here. But the reality is, by their own standards, the premiers failed on this file.
Marco Navarro-Gini is here. Just a quick bit of breaking news, actually, out of Toronto. Police there say the two people that were killed last night in the shooting in the city's Greek town, 18-year-old woman and a 10-year-old girl. They do say, though, they're looking into the death of a 29-year-old man they suspect was the shooter. He was found close by the scene, but they're obviously differentiating between the two fatalities, the 18-year-old woman and 10-year-old, as this comes out. We'll have more on this coming up throughout the afternoon. I see news conferences just underway right now. So, Marco, when we're talking about this cross-border trade, and we knew that some time ago there was an argument being made on a federal court level that, you know, when our founding fathers said, let's have free trade between the provinces, maybe they didn't envision this, but they certainly weren't in some ways condoning or endorsing a system where we have each and every province setting up its own tariff system, for lack of a better term.
Yeah, that's right. If you look at the original intent of the founders of the Federation, the whole point of putting together the Federation was to get away from protectionism, and in fact, to get away from the American protectionism that had just, there was a wave of protectionism that had just started when they scrapped the Treaty of Reciprocity. So we see, I mean, you're right in mentioning the origin again, because we are basically at the cusp of something similar with the protectionism that the present American administration is peddling, well, every which way.
So, Marco, when we have these baby steps, is this because of a political alignment? We certainly have a number of liberal premiers and a liberal prime minister. So is this somehow aligned with what perhaps the direction they're heading?
I don't think it has much to do with partisanship. There are premiers across different walks of life and different political stripes that have taken different views on this. If you look at, for example, Ontario and the new Conservative premier, they're trying to get things to be liberalized quite a bit more than they are. And under an NDP premier currently in Alberta, that's kind of the system that the Conservative premier in Ontario is trying to get to. Mm-hmm. So political partisanship isn't much of the issue. I think the issue is really to develop an actually small L liberal idea where free flow of trades and goods, and it doesn't just apply to goods, right? This also applies to things like labor and all the demands that we place on people coming across borders to be able to change a tire or work in a hospital as a nurse or a doctor. It's a much greater problem than beer. But on the beer file, the premier said they were going to make progress, and they did not much progress make.
Marco Navarro Gini, our guest on the broadcast here this afternoon. I did hear comments from Stephen McNeil. He's been put in charge of a task force to investigate perhaps lessening the rules or perhaps aligning them so that tradespeople, for example, as he pointed out, you know, with apprenticeships, there's some opportunity there. As he points out, many companies in our particular geographic region have offices in one, two, three, or several of the provinces. So it makes sense to try and bring all of the rules into one, perhaps under one ledger, which makes a lot of sense. Marco, are you an advocate for an Atlantic region? Do we need to perhaps have that conversation about amalgamating provincial governments?
No, I am not suggesting that we should amalgamate provincial governments. We have enough problems with the way things are right now, and creating a single government may not be either feasible, desirable, or even efficient. But there is lots of room to change these rules and make them more efficient. And changing them one by one, or tiny little bits at the time for each one, is going to take 1,000 years. And we don't have that kind of time. If you look at every time they say that they're going to change something, and they change such small increments that it doesn't matter, because there are so many things to change. What this is going to require is a serious sit-down of the four premiers in Atlantic Canada, if we're talking about Atlantic Canada alone. So my preference would be that this be done across the country from coast to coast to coast.
Mm-hmm.
And remove all these barriers. We're talking about in excess of, a conservative estimate has it that there is about $100 billion in real dollars left on the table when we walk away, that we walk away from by having these essentially excessive barriers just within Canada. And that means, Sheldon, that that amount is greater than the amount of trade that we have with China, is greater than the amount of trade that we have with the European Union. So we could be generating an enormous amount of wealth within our country just by changing these rules.
Marco Navarro Gini, President and CEO of the Atlantic Institute for Market Studies. And if the cross-border purchase of alcohol isn't necessarily a partisan issue, I think you could make the argument that, well, this federal carbon tax and the opposition to it by Ontario's premier specifically, he's the latest to add his voice, Saskatchewan's premier also adding some legal teeth to this fight. Your thoughts on the federal carbon tax? You feel it's dead in the water?
I think with the announcement that PEI is withdrawing from it, or rejecting it in essence, not withdrawing it from it because they were never in it, but by rejecting it, I think it puts it to bed. Up until a couple of weeks ago, the general sentiment was that the Prime Minister and most people around him, and including most provinces, were online to embrace the carbon tax, with the exception, perhaps, of the Premier in Saskatchewan, Premier Mo. But Premier Mo is not alone anymore since the election of the new Premier in Ontario, Doug Ford. But that still sort of placed the whole discourse around the division of political partisanship. But with the announcement in PEI, PEI has a Liberal Premier. Well, all the Atlantic provinces have Liberal Premiers. And now the Premier of New Brunswick, musing, talking about maybe joining PEI and rejecting the carbon tax. That puts Nova Scotia and Newfoundland in tight spots, but especially Newfoundland, because they are in a very bad way regarding taxes. They have essentially zero room to raise taxes. Hmm. And so Alberta may have a new premier within a year and reject the carbon tax again. So when you start looking at the dominoes here moving ahead in time, there is nearly a majority of provinces with a majority of the citizens of the country rejecting the carbon tax. So that places the Prime Minister in a very tight spot.
Mm. It absolutely does. We will continue to follow this, as you are. And Marco, it's a pleasure to get you back on the show with your thoughts here this afternoon. Thank you so much.
Thanks very much. Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye. Sir. President and CEO of AIMS, the Atlantic Institute for Market Studies, talking carbon tax.